don't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour on this Friday, gloomy, cloudy, overcast Friday, September 5th, 2025 edition, Your Defending Fathers, with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us every Friday from 10 to 11 is Pastor Chatfield. He teaches at the Northern Michigan Christian Academy, which, by the way, they're still accepting new students for this year. If you're interested, we can talk about that at the end of the show. But basically, talking about the Articles of Confederation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Pastor Chatfield, I want to ask you a question right out of the gate.
Okay.
The Articles of Confederation. Now, I want to get into the details at the beginning, because I've never truly understood this in my history lessons that I learned back in 1975 with Mr. Goyke. Who actually drafted them? When did they draft them? And what did they draft them for?
Okay. Second Continental Draft or Congress drafted them in 1777, a group of people. Because we were operating up until that time just on the Articles of Association. And there's really, we didn't have a government. And we had the Declaration of Independence, but really no organized constitution. And we were just requesting money from the states. The Articles were drafted in 1777 by the Second Continental Congress. And then they were ratified by all 13 states in 1781. And it was the law of the land, so to speak, although the Articles of it just simply provided for a weak central government and with the power residing in the states. All the states had the power. And I'll talk about the strengths and the weaknesses of that.
Okay. Before we get there, though, and you say this, and I hear you say it all the time, Mr. Goyke said it. Second Continental Congress. Was the First Continental Congress a thing? And are they the ones that put together the Agreement of Association? Is that where it all started?
Yes. Yeah, 1774. I'd have to check that. Which one of those? The Articles of Association was just an agreement we're going to associate with each other. The First Continental Congress was 1774. The Second Continental Congress, 1775, and it stayed in existence. It was the Second Continental Congress that declared independence.
Got it. And 1776, they are the ones that actually wrote the Declaration of Independence. They all got up and signed it, and that's what basically put us into the Revolutionary War.
Well, yes and no. I mean, we were fighting. Lexington Concord was in April of 1775 before we declared our independence.
Sure, yes.
And a lot of people thought we're just fighting for our rights as Englishmen. We got to get together. We got to defend our God-given rights. And rest assured, every single person understood that rights come from God. They were God-given rights. For a senator today to claim that rights aren't given to us by God, but are given by government or law, that is total American heresy, which is... There's been an argument about that from Senator Kaine and Ted Cruz pushing back on that. No, our rights are God-given. We have to unite to have and protect our God-given rights. That was in 1775. But eventually it became clear we had to declare independence.
Absolutely. Very good. Good precursor to the discussion. Articles of Confederation with Pastor Chatfield. Short break. We'll be right back.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
This is Justin Michael. I grew up in Grayling, Michigan, where small-town values and hard work shaped who I am. I proudly served in the U.S. Army in combat, and today I continue serving as a conflict resolution specialist and an advocate for veterans, families, and working people across northern Michigan and in the Upper Peninsula. I know the struggles our communities face because I live them. I'm Justin Michael. Let's start bridging the divides in our district together. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion. This is what I call the wind him up and let him go segment, where we're going to allow Pastor Chatfield to just basically monologue and teach his class. Hopefully he's teaching the class while he's doing the show today. the Articles of Confederation, sir. Go ahead.
Before, when we were in the war, war for independence, it was something that held us together. Hey, we wanted our independence. But even then, we knew we needed a government. So in 1777, we passed the Articles of Confederation, which described itself as a perpetual firm league of friendship. It was kind of like a, something like a European Union in a way, I suppose, or it was a league of friendship. But it did not really create a national government. It did do some good things. Let me talk about some positive things of the Articles of Confederation. As the word this confederation dictates, a confederation of sovereign states. But the power, with the vast majority of power, still residing in the state. And when you have little government, you have little federal government, you have little chance of the government of overreaching because it doesn't have the power to overreach. And so, and we were concerned with strong central government. That, you know, obviously that's why we were fighting. We didn't like the Great Britain from across the ocean with a strong central government sending its troops over to us, and we wanted our freedom. And that worked during the war because we were naturally united fighting against the British. And that is absolutely true. But at the same time, and some good things happened with the Land Ordinance of 1785, which governed the Northwest Territory. And I'll just point this out. All 13 states, this is approved, that became law, that the states of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, and part of Minnesota were all considered a Northwest Ordinance. And it set up a system of surveying it and dividing it into counties and into townships. And I asked my students this. I said, immediately when you fly up in the air in Michigan or over Ohio or Indiana and you look down, what does it look like in the farms? They're all in squares. That was because it was commanded to be so, dictated by the land ordinances that we surveyed this into, you know, 1 mile square, 640, you know, acres, and then we cut it off into 40s, into 160s, and that's why even in our state and all over the Midwest, which was the old Northwest, our acreage is all in 40s. That's not the way it is in the East. You fly over the East, and the property lines are not square like they are in the old Northwest Territory, which is the modern Midwest. That was good. Also, in the Northwest Ordinance of 1787, said this. It said, quote, religion and morality being necessary for good government, schools and means of education shall always be encouraged. In other words, from the very beginning, we understood that schools would teach religion. And when they talked about religion, it was about Christianity. The founders of this country wanted the Christian religion taught in the public schools. Just kind of a side point that nobody cares about anymore. But the founders of this country, they wanted that. And another point of the Northwest Ordinance of 1785 and 1787, it forbade slavery in this part of the country, which is a big point that Lincoln would make later in his Cooper Union address. The people that wrote our Constitution believed that the federal government could, even the Articles of Confederation, which was weak, could forbid slavery in the territories, which is an important argument because that's all that the Republican Party was arguing for in 1860. That as we expanded westward, we did not want the new territories, which would eventually become states, have slavery. And so those were the good things of the Articles of Confederation. But there were some very dramatic weaknesses. The first thing was this. There was no executive branch. There was no president. There was no means by which you could enforce the law. Now, I've learned this teaching in school. I've been teaching school for 46 years in a row. It's one thing to have rules, no talking in class or whatever, and it's another thing to enforce rules. Without enforcement of rules, rules are almost meaningless. You must have an executive, somebody that is in charge that enforces the rules. The states would, under the articles, we'd make laws and there'd be nobody to enforce it. We just hope that the states would comply. There was no court system. So if a problem arose up between states, and they did, then who would settle? I mean, it was to the point that some of the states in the East were on the verge of going to war with each other over taxes, over economic system, because there was nothing set up to regulate commerce. The central government lacked the power to do that. And each state was taxing goods coming into their state, which, by the way, you cannot do under the Constitution. I mean, we are a free union. We are a no tariff country, state to state. That was one of the primary things, but it wasn't so under the Articles. Another big weakness, there was no ability to tax. There was no taxing power. All that the Congress could do under the Articles was to request money from the states. You could not tax. Now, I describe taxation as this. It's when the government comes to you, puts a gun to your head, and says, pay your taxes, or we're going to take your property. We're going to take your liberty, or both. I guess eventually, if you don't pay taxes and you resist going to jail, we might have to take your life. The power to tax, as bad as we are small, low tax people. We don't like large taxes. Nevertheless, to have government, you've got to have the power to tax, and there has to be a means of enforcing that taxing power. The federal government had no taxing power, and that just created a weakness that could not abide. Another issue. To pass a law, there were 13 states, you needed 9 of the 13 states to agree. And by the way, it was all state by state by state. So there was no separation. Larger states like Virginia had no more authority than smaller states like Rhode Island. It was all equal. And so it took 9 of 13 states to pass anything. And maybe another terrible weakness, maybe the worst of all weaknesses, it took all 13 states to amend the Constitution. Before you could change the Articles, every single state had to agree. And there was a rebellion. It was called Shea's Rebellion. In Western Massachusetts, Daniel Shea was a veteran of the Revolution, and there was a lot of chaos going on in Western Massachusetts, and the men, some of the veterans, were not getting their pay. They formed their own kind of militia and started threatening the government of Massachusetts, and Massachusetts couldn't defend itself. We had no standing. We had no army. There was no commander-in-chief. And people like George Washington, James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, all saw that happening. And it was pretty much a consensus, we must amend the Articles. They are simply too weak. And that put into motion in 1787 the calling for a convention originally to amend the Articles. We're going to amend the Articles. And there were some people like Patrick Henry that didn't like it. Patrick Henry said, I smell a rat. And Patrick Henry was a big supporter of the Revolution. But he says, whoa, wait a minute here. Who gave them the authority to call a convention to amend the Articles? And by the way, according to the Articles of Confederation, it would take all 13 states to amend. The fact of the matter is, the state of Rhode Island never sent anybody. We just went ahead and wrote a new constitution without permission of Rhode Island. We just set up new rules, really without authority from the Articles. That is the way it is. And that's why some of the, and you know, I've talked about this numerous times over the years, that's why some people are afraid of a convention of the states. Because they're afraid that if, once you convene a convention, you could discard the entire Constitution and come up with something new. And their argument goes like this. Last time we did this, they threw out the Articles completely, and not authoritatively, really, but they just did it, set it up, and went forward. Eventually, Rhode Island had to go along, although it never approved it. And eventually, you know, like, well, Rhode Island, we got a new government. You going to participate or not? And so that's kind of a short history of the Articles of Confederation. And strong state government, virtually no central government, or very weak. No national court system, no power to tax, no executive.
Now, on that point, do you think the lack of those particular items very much showed their head during the war, through the process leading up to the writing of our Constitution? Was there any particular examples of where those things not being in there basically caused the founding fathers to say, okay, this is something we got to fix. This is why we have to do a Constitution?
Yes, Shays Rebellion was one of the biggest. Plus the fact that states were on the verge of going to war with each other over economic issues and taxation and tariff, slapping tariffs on each other's products state to state. And there was a move in New England to form a new country, the Confederate States of New England. They were threatening to withdraw. And, you know, you can't. I know that sounds like, well, if you say, well, we're going to, you know, we're going to have our rights. Listen, we had to have a strong government to protect ourselves, not just from Great Britain, but from France, Spain, all of Europe. If we wouldn't have formed a united country and had some power, military force, we'd have been easy picking for almost any European power. That's why you got to have armies. That's why you got to have police. That's the whole point of a social contract theory of government, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We agree with each other to form a government to defend our life, our liberty, and our property. Rhode Island couldn't defend itself. Connecticut, Massachusetts, New England couldn't really defend itself. But as a country, when we unite, we become formidable. That's the nature of things. I mean, an example recently, there's this thing that's going on in China. It's basically China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. They're kind of forming a new Warsaw Pact. It's not a Warsaw Pact, but they're really starting to move together because they feel like they've got to defend themselves against the United States, especially, but Europe. That's the nature of human existence, I guess.
Yeah. Good place for a break. Bottom of the Hour News. Hour number two, we'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source.